Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us as we explore heart health and homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook, with Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is January 11th, 2012. We are up to show number 11 with our co-host, Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD, fourth generation homeopath. And we have been discussing diabetes and homeopathy and heart health since the last session together. Today we're going to continue part two, and he is just calling in on the line now, and I hope that you've been following our shows. We've been having quite intensive studies together. If you go to Homeopathy World Community, you'll see a picture on the right-hand column, Heart Health with Dr. Adil, and if you click on it, you'll see a page with a listing of all the shows. And so you can listen to the podcast, download them as a podcast or as an archive onto your computer to listen. And please do also send us some questions beforehand, and we will do our best to answer them in future shows.
Hi, Debbie. Am I audible? Hello.
Hello. Yes, you're on live. We're on air today.
Well, what a beautiful start. Last time when we discussed about diabetes, a person called Christina from Allen Township, Ottawa County, Ohio, mailed me saying, I have a golden retriever aged 6 years. How do I know it has got diabetes?
Okay, so now you're taking pet cases.
Yeah, so anyway, Christina, I deal with human beings, but still I guess that if dogs have frequent urination, or if the dog is drinking lots of water, or has a large appetite, unexplained loss of weight, then probably, I guess, the dog should undergo a urine or a blood test for sugar. In advanced cases, even there may be lethargy, loss of appetite, vomiting, dehydration, or the dog can suddenly present as coma. And cataracts are quite common. Early cataracts are very common in diabetic dogs as they are in human beings. Ultimately, diabetes is a disease that affects all the organs. So, same goes with humans and dogs. So that's how you can detect if your dog has, or presume the dog may be having diabetes.
Right. And also we have a show on Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time in the United States with Dr. Christina Chambreau, doctor of veterinary medicine, who's been practicing homeopathy for a decade or longer. And she also has covered many, many instances of how to diagnose or observe what's going on with your pet. Last week, we were talking about hospice care, and she told the story of how one of her elderly pet cats died. And I learned that cats don't typically drink water if they're healthy. So she's going to continue again part two on Thursday at 1 o'clock with hospice care. But we're going to go back to whatever happened with this golden retriever. You just told her that she should get tested.
Yeah, I mean, no, she just mailed me saying what symptoms should I see about whether or not my dog has the disease or not. So I told her that same symptoms as polyuria, polydipsia, and excess of appetite. If the dog has, you may probably go in for checking. Now, I don't know whether, I again asked her whether has she vaccinated the dog. Probably vaccinations can incite diabetes as it does so in human beings. And a sad case has been reported in India about the babies dying, but unfortunately the government showing great apathy. That's
yes.
Such a sorry state of affairs.
The cover-ups are massive. You're giving me all of these segues to tell about all of our shows on Homeopathy World Community, because tomorrow at noon, Alan Phillips is going to be on again talking about vaccinations and your rights in the United States. Unfortunately, animals are not treated as the same as humans, and they're considered to be objects. They're not really considered in the same way as people. So I don't think that they would have the same types of rights, but I'm not absolutely sure on that. So we have to be careful about vaccinations. And so what is your take on having your children, your infants, vaccinated for all of these different diseases?
My take is go in for homeopathy. Homeopathy can vaccinate you for metabolic disorders. Why vaccinate only for specific diseases like measles, or polio, or for that matter, diphtheria? Why not vaccinate against diabetes when homeopathy can give you vaccinations? Well, we are going to talk about that later. Let me give a recap of what diabetes is in short, so that we may proceed on with the management, because we have lots to speak about that. Diabetes basically is a multisystemic constitutional disorder. It's not a symptomatic disease. It's a notorious silent disease. And mind you, ladies and gentlemen, raised blood sugar level is just one manifestation of diabetes. Furthermore, mind, directly as well as indirectly, instigates diabetic syndrome. Diabetes, yes, surely is an evolution disorder, right, starting right from diathesis. I mean, the people who are predisposed to diabetes, it evolves into the disease proper and followed by its complications. When we talk about diabetic diathesis, a majority of chunk of population, in particular India, because India leads the world in diabetes, unfortunately, and followed by China. So, diabetic diathesis, if a person has a family history of diabetes, is obese, or is unable to lose obesity in spite of the best of therapy, has got easy fatigue, is quite lethargic, has developed increased hunger, thirst, urine, and still the sugar is coming negative, or has an unhealthy skin, I mean frequent susceptibility to infections, tingling and numbness in the arms, forearms, and recurrent urinary tract infection, then one may think that this is onset of diabetic diathesis. If all these symptoms continue and the urine tests for sugar positive or blood sugar tests for sugar positive, then the disease proper has set in. And finally, you have your heart, the kidneys, the eyes, and the nerves, and the skin all going in for specific disease syndromes, what we call as label as complications of diabetes. So this was a small recap.
Yeah. Yes, that's excellent. That's a very thorough itemization of all of the things that are going to occur to the individual, or observations we can have, or clinical testings we can have to know that someone is going into this state of diabetes. And many of those, can we tell early on?
Yeah, no. Depending upon, diabetic syndrome, as I told you, early pre-diabetes is actually the physician's mandatory thing to detect, because homeopaths can really treat diabetic diathesis or pre-diabetic state. If I know that maternal family history, see, diabetes generally transmits from mother's side, less from father's side. So if I have a very strong family history of maternal family history of diabetes, and particularly not the name is sufficient, we have to see the behavior of diabetes in the mother's side. For example, my maternal uncle, if he has got developed diabetes about, say, 2 years ago, and within 2 years he has developed kidney disease, that is a malignant type of diabetes. I mean, diabetes name is there, but it's spreading very fast. So the behavior of diabetes has to be seen, not only the name. Then, as I told you, the effort intolerance, easy fatigue, hunger, if I can't tolerate my hunger, thirst, or urination, then I should probably think that even if my blood sugar is normal, I am going towards the disease. So I should be very, very cautious and start my diet and exercise right away.
Okay. So you have now, a lot to tell us. Yes, what's going to happen next?
Yeah. So, I mean, once we have known that diabetes is there, what can homeopathy do with diabetes? I mean, for diabetes, for diabetics, and for the disease prevent. The first and foremost thing is it can prevent the evolution of the disease from the diabetic diathesis stage, I mean the pre-diabetic stage, to the complications of the disease. Secondly, if diabetics come to us very early, then we can actually cure them. So this maxim that once diabetic is diabetic for life, I don't agree to that, because we have got proved cases and they are under follow-up since past about 10 years or so, decade or so, and their blood sugars are really coming normal. So we can actually cure diabetes if they come in early stage. When I say early stage, within 1 or 2 years of diagnosis of the disease also. Even if they come in advanced stages, then we can palliate the distinguishing symptoms. We can actually curtail symptomatic drugs. Many people are, bored taking insulin, or rather insulin has played havoc. In spite of taking insulin, the sugar levels are not controlled. Homeopathy can intervene and we can curtail symptomatic drugs, treat the side effects of so many drugs and postpone complications. So these are, everything is achievable by homeopathy. Prevent the evolution of the disease, cure the disease in early stage, palliate distressing symptoms, curtail symptomatic drugs, treat side effects and postpone complications. I mean, if you have got so much with one therapy, why not opt it?
You sound very confident. And also, I would assume that their lifestyle changes must be put into place.
Yeah, that goes without saying. I mean, what is lifestyle modification? The lifestyle modification's first thing is bringing discipline in your lifestyle. If you are not prone to eating breakfast, please do so. The world will not fall into places, I mean, if you don't have your lunch at a proper time. Many people believe that because they don't have time, they just blame the time. But why don't they blame themselves, the lifestyle? First is disciplining. Unless you discipline your lifestyle according to time, you cannot treat metabolic disorders, be it diabetes, be it hypothyroidism, or be it obesity, anything. So lifestyle modification basically means bringing disciplining into oneself.
Okay, so can you tell me about eating breakfast and the importance of doing this and at a specific time?
Yeah, very, very important. Because what is breakfast? It is breaking the fast. The last meal which you have had, the dinner, many people, I mean, in India, the normal time of dinner is 8 to 9, depending upon the culture here, because there are so many cultures around here. So we have got particular cultures like Jains. They eat their dinner just after the sunset. The moment the sun has set, the dinner has to be served. Likewise, many people do so. So suppose if you take the dinner at, say, 9 or 10 o'clock at night, then right till the morning, the stomach is starved and the gastric juices are secreted. So breakfast is essentially a very, very, should be a big meal. Lunch should be a lighter meal and the dinner should be the lightest. This should be followed, and this sequence should be followed. Many people just drink milk and they say that they have had the breakfast. That's wrong. You should have a proper breakfast and it should be a balanced diet. What should be eaten, we come to the diet part. Then we got, so three things are there in a patient's, first is diet modification, lifestyle modification, and exercise. And when we talk about exercises, we have to talk about both mental exercises and physical exercises. Avoidance and maintaining promoting factors. As we know that diabetes and mind have a very, very great role to play. Rather, I consider diabetes to be a psychosomatic disease. So, unless and until you have got, avoid you maintaining and promoting factors which promote diabetes, you cannot hope to win the war with diabetes. Then comes the medicinal treatment, and lastly the mechanical intervention like surgical treatment, like debriding the necrotic tissue or excision of the carbuncle or callus excision. They are all late therapies. But first and foremost, every person who has got diabetes should see his or her diet, lifestyle, and exercise. Now, what particularly in diet?
Are you asking me?
No. I'm asking. What particular diet? I mean, what should a diabetic diet consist of? First and foremost thing is beans.
Beans.
Now, whether one prefers beans, whether one prefers kidney beans, pinto beans, navy beans, black beans. I mean, you can't find a better nutrition than that provided by beans. They are very high in fiber, giving us about 1/3 of our daily requirement in just half a cup, and are very good sources of magnesium and potassium, which go a long way in controlling diabetes. Potassium and insulin are best friends. Without potassium, insulin does not work. And magnesium and potassium are very high in beans. And beans are considered to be starchy vegetables. But half a cup provides as much protein as an ounce of meat. So in India, where 70% of population are vegetarians, beans should be the first thing. I mean, to save time,
I'm sorry, are people afraid to become overweight by eating starchy type foods?
Yeah, but the starch provided by polished rice and starch provided by potatoes, that is more harmful. But not about beans. Beans does have starch, but not in that much quantity. So they are
okay.
One of the first things should be, one of the main components of the diet should be beans. Then, of course, dark green leafy vegetables, spinach, collards, kale. Now, these are powerhouse foods. They're so low in calories and carbohydrates that you can't eat too much, but they give you a sense of satiety. Of course, they also help in constipation, but then that's a point apart. But most important is they provide a great amount of satiety. Half of the world is just to fill the mental satiety. Although it may or may not be required by the body, but just we eat so much till we are, in Hindi it is called pet bharke khana. That means till your stomach is full, you have to eat. Then we have got citrus fruits like grapefruit, oranges, lemons, limes. And they have got plenty of vitamin C and soluble fiber. Sweet potatoes. I was talking about potatoes, but sweet potatoes is a starchy vegetable. It's full of vitamin A and fiber. So we should try this in place of regular potatoes, and it helps a great deal as far as diabetes is concerned. And in our practice, we daily see berries, particularly people who have got blood group O type. I mean, we prescribe here, I would like to have a show of particularly blood group diets and heart diseases. But O positive people, or even O negative people, those who have got blood group ORH negative or ORH positive, they do very well with berries, maybe blueberries, strawberries, or any other variety. They're all packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and fiber. Tomatoes. An old standby where anyone can find a favorite. It can be in any form, either pureed, raw, sauce. And you have got lots of vital nutrients like vitamin C, E, and iron, which is very important. Unfortunately, many of the diabetics which I see, many of them are anemic. And somehow or other, why do they, the anemia adds to the problems of the symptomatology. Fish. People who eat fish, because they are high in omega-3 fatty acids. Salmon is a top variety. Unfortunately, in India, we have very few places we have got salmon. And we should say no to breaded and deep-fat fried variety of fishes, which is very common in India and becomes one of the major problems for diet control in diabetics. Whole grains. It's the German brand of the whole grain that we are after and contains all the nutrients the grain product has to offer. Of course, grains, any grain, provides magnesium, chromium, omega-3 fatty acids and folates. Barley and oatmeals are very rich sources of fiber and potassium, so they need to be consumed as a whole. Finally, nuts. An ounce of nuts can go a long way in providing healthy fats. Other benefits like magnesium and fiber. And time and again, I've been stressing about magnesium because it does play a very, very important role because it's one of the minerals which goes down, becomes deficient when the insulin level drops down. Walnuts, flax seeds, they have high amounts of omega-3 fatty acids and they act as antioxidants. And these prevent diabetic cardiomyopathy, they prevent neuropathy, they even prevent help us to prevent retinopathy. And finally, fat-free milk and yogurt. Everyone knows that dairy can help strong bones and teeth. But in addition, calcium is there. Many fortified dairy products are a good source of vitamin D too. So, this goes as far as diet is concerned.
Very thorough. It sounds like delicious things to eat.
Yeah, but still, in spite of repeated warnings to the patients, giving them in writing, very few people are compliant with it. I hope many people take cognizance because diet is the easiest thing to follow. One patient came to me, she's a diabetic and she's weighing 130 kgs. And I am telling her, I'm trying to console that please modify her diet. And the answer she gives back to me is, Doc, I have come to you for medicines. If you stop my diet, what am I supposed to do? And I have to tell her repeatedly time and again, you are not living to eat. You eat to live only. So that concept should be really ingrained in all people who have got metabolic disorders. You just don't live to eat.
And well, secondly, I think we need to learn how to enliven our taste buds to natural foods, to many processed things. And people don't realize how much salty, sugar, and oily, fatty foods that we're eating.
Yeah, exactly. They have to be explained that they continue the same diet as their forefathers have followed, but not realizing that the forefathers had got lots and lots of physical activities. Many were farmers, many were doing outside jobs. Today, a man or a woman has nothing else to do but sit behind the desk and type on a computer or laptop.
That's,
I mean, it's
true.
So sad. But the diet remains same, has remained same right from the beginning. So this concept has to be broken. We have to change with time and we have to give the body as much as required, not as much as mentally we require it. It has to be a physical requirement that has to be judged. So this is the first thing, diet, and it's extremely important. Without it, the best of the therapies do fail. And it's better to have no sugar or low sugar in the diet. Rather, I prefer jaggery. Because jaggery has got iron and sugar has calories. So jaggery does not have as much calories as sugar. So it's better not to have sugar. Either have sugarless tea or sugarless milk, or have milk with small amount of jaggery. It may increase blood sugar levels to some extent. Honey is very good. Honey you can have. It does not increase blood sugar levels to that great extent. So people who have got a sugar tooth, they can add some amount of honey or some amount of, rather than using pills for sugar, I mean sweetening agents, they are basically very harmful and they are artificially, long run, they should not be taken to a great extent.
We don't have this jaggery here in America, so we might have agave plant and
yeah,
the honey,
yeah.
Honey, of course, but I've never tasted this other, is it a plant?
No, jaggery is, the sugar is prepared from sugar cane, right? So before that, the jaggery is prepared, what we call is gur, and it's widely prevalent throughout India. And it is a very, very rich source of iron. But once that is refined, then the sugar comes out, and the sugar has got lots of calories, but no iron. So it only gives the taste, nothing else.
It's not molasses?
No. It's jaggery. I don't know how to explain that.
Okay,
so
look it up. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so that is one part when we're talking about diet. What about exercises? And basically, see, diabetics, as we had discussed last time, diabetes affects the heart in a very silent way. So basically, the person who has suffered diabetes from, say, 7 years or 10 years has a great amount of chance of premature atherosclerosis. I mean, having atherosclerosis quite early in life. If that is so, one may not experience for the typical classical pain of what we have called angina pectoris. The angina variants are more common in diabetics. For example, if I start having premature atherosclerosis because of diabetes, jaw pain, the left side jaw pain on exertion would be more common to me rather than having chest pain. Or unusual perspiration on slight physical activity would be my indication of angina rather than chest pain. Or undue palpitations or pain on the right side rather than the left side is more common. So these angina variants are very, very common as far as diabetics are concerned. Either you may not have any symptoms or directly a heart attack, or the heart may start failing. And the first symptom of failing heart is decreased work efficiency or early tiredness. That is one. And second is, say after, if I'm sitting at a desk job for about, say, 3 hours or 4 hours, I start getting swelling on my feet or swelling below my eyelids. Now, these are very subtle signs and very, very important signs for a homeopath to know that this gentleman or this lady who has got diabetes is now developing some sort of cardiac disorder. So, cardiodiabetes, what we call them. And in such cases, apart from the diet, exercises also have a very, very important role to play. And as I have already told you, that mind is, you have to take out time for talking to yourself. I mean, if you don't take out time, I doubt very much again that metabolic disorders of diabetes can ever be won the war. So one has to take out time for diabetes. So we have got to do mental exercises called meditation. You may call it meditation, you may call it pranic healing, you may call it whatever, I mean, whichever name goes. But talking to oneself and be chalking out problems and solutions of the problems, the probable solutions of the problems, is one of the mainstay of mental exercises for diabetes mellitus. Hello?
So I'm here.
Are we there?
Yes, I am. Okay. I am here. I was listening very intently, and I was very concerned about the symptoms that you listed, the swelling in the limbs and the eye, under the eyes and around the eyes, and how to take care of this.
Yeah, because many times if we start developing a swelling below the lids, we neglect it. No, it's just a part. I have not slept well, or probably there's too much strain. We're not realizing that they may be because of deficient functioning of the heart. And they are very, very early indicators of a failing heart.
So tell us what to do.
Yeah, of course. So that means to say that I can be developing that, and I should first go and check for an echo. No other investigation is more useful than an echocardiogram. And if the echocardiogram comes normal, then okay. But still, I should not ignore it. And we have got drugs like Apis, Mellifica, and Liatris. Liatris is a beautiful drug, Liatris Picata. It's a very unassuming drug, a very rare drug known in homeopathy. But it really helps in controlling these early symptoms, these early swellings, what we call, and diabetic cardiomyopathy is very essentially controlled. It has to be taken in mother tincture form for, say, about 2 or 3 months, and really gives wonderful results. Liatris Picata, again, I repeat.
Okay, how do you spell that? And by the way, the Jaggery is Jaggery?
Yes.
Okay. So how do you spell the Liatris?
Yeah, Liatris. Liatris Spicata, Spicata.
Okay.
So that's a wonderful
stuff. Yes, it's a beautiful flower in the plant, the blazing star. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So, of course, when we start about medicinal treatment of diabetes, there are three parts. Depends on when the patient has come to us. If the patient has come to us in the diathesis stage or pre-diabetic state, or the patient has accompanied another patient to a clinic, and we have recognized that this patient may have got may land up in diabetes, and we convince him or her to get herself treated or himself treated, then the most simplest thing is sit with the patient, take the complete history about the mental state of the patient, the physical generalities, the appetite, the thirst, the urine, the sexual symptoms, the menstruation, the sleep patterns, the dreams, and a collective symptomatology would give us a drug picture, and we may give him or her the constitutional homeopathic drug. We generally start the constitutional homeopathic drug in 1 mg potency or 200 at the most, 200 or 1 mg potency, but not higher or lower. a single dose has to be given and to be repeated after two or three months, another dose. And such common drugs are lycopodium, natrum muraticum, phosphorus, acid phos, causticum, sulfur, argentin nitricum, lachesis, and many more. I mean, that depends upon totally the individualization of the constitution. And we should be very, very, we can be quite sure that the progress of the disorder, the diabetic state, to the disease would be halted by the use of these drugs. So if the patient comes in pre-diabetic state, the things become quite easy. Sometimes it happens that we may not be able to catch the name of which drug the patient represents, the constitution represents. Still now then, what we can do is ask the family history of diabetes or family history of tubercular disorders or any other family history. And depending upon the family history, for example, if I am a pre-diabetic, but yet in spite of a good history can't select medicine, then if I have a family history of malignancy, cancers, then I would be given carcinosin. Forget about my constitutional drug. A dose of carcinosin would still do the job that a constitutional remedy would does. So that is called as vaccination with homeopathy. This is one of the finest things homeopathy has to offer to the world. Vaccination for metabolic disorders. And we do it day in and day out and are so happy, and thank God Hahnemann has given us this homeopathy for at least not let the disease progress further.
May I ask a question about that one? To be giving, for instance, this nosode of carcinosin, is this also in a 1 mg or a 2 mg one dose and wait for 2 to 3 months?
Yeah. I mean, not less than 1 mg. Every nosode has to be given above 1 mg potency, 1 mg or 1 mg above 1 mg, and a single dose. You need not repeat nosodes. You have to repeat constitutional remedies, but need not repeat nosode. One dose of carcinosin is sufficient enough to halt the entire disease progression. So that even after a constitutional remedy, even after you have given, for example, you have given a patient calcarea carb. You have started with 200. After, say, 2 or 3 months or 4 months, you repeat another dose of a higher potency of 1 mg. And at the end of treatment, say, another 5 to 6 months, you give one dose of tuberculinum, which is a cognate of calcarea carb, and the disease stops, really stops.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so very interesting.
Yeah, and this help should be definitely taken by the entire population, and homeopaths should be able to prescribe nosodes depending on family history. And so we should ask what type of family history you have got. And the names do not suffice. As I have told you earlier, suppose if I have a family history of, say, diabetes, then I should know what sort of diabetes my father or my mother has suffered from. If my father has got a diabetes, say, long-standing diabetes, and he is happy with a single drug, the sugars are controlled, then it's a psoriatic diabetes. So the drug of choice, here the nosode would be sulfur, although sulfur is not a nosode, but it would act like a nosode.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the most, sorainum. If my father has got diabetes and the skin manifestations are too many, then the drug I would receive would be sorainum or at the most sulfur, either. Any of them can be given. So, or else, if my mother has got diabetes and very fast, had hardly 3 years of diabetes, she has had to ampute her foot because of gangrene, then this is syphilitic manifestation of diabetes, and one needs to give syphilinum in this case. Again, a nosode. And if my brother has got diabetes very high, and hardly 2 years or 3 years of detection of diabetes, he has developed diabetic retinopathy or diabetic kidney disease, then that means it's a malignant type of diabetes. So either medurinum or carcinosin or tuberculinum would be the remedy of, or no sort of choice, or even puja for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is how we select no sorts. We don't need to go in then for the constitutional drug. This itself is a very, very important drug for the patient, and it need not be repeated again. It has to be used in 1 mg potency or above or more, but not less, definitely.
And in between 5 and 6 months intervals.
Exactly. Another point of thing should be noted is, suppose if the nosode selected is tuberculinum for me, and the prevalent season here is December and it's winter, I should wait till the summer season sets in and then administer tuberculinum. It would be quite unwise to administer tuberculinum in its aggravating season, that is in December, because I will land up with full-fledged another disorder, a tubercle disorder. So such things need to be noted. If I have to administer medrinum, I need not administer medrinum on full moon and new moon days because it causes unnecessary aggravations. So such care needs to be taken. The same goes with carcinosin and same goes with sulfur. They should not be administered on full moon and new moon days or 2 or 3 days here and there. And after that, you can administer. So this is a very, very important thing, and it prevents diabetic diathesis to evolve into the disease state. But suppose if the patient has come in a disease state and very early, say hardly 1 year or 2 years of the diagnosis, and he or she is taking only a single tablet and the sugar is very well controlled. Again, you take the case history. Again, constitutional remedy would work and he or she can easily stop that drug. And the sugar levels can be controlled normal, but such patient has to be followed for at least 5 years to see that sugar levels don't shoot up. In such cases, the repetition of the dose may be about 2 or 3 times a year or probably more. Suppose if the patient has come to me in an advanced stage, diabetes since say 20 years and is on insulin, but now is petrified of the insulin and wants that insulin should go, or wants that the disease should not develop furthermore, and has come to you for homeopathic help, then in such cases, one needs to go in from certain specific remedies. And for that, we use typically 8 remedies. It's a protocol we have made. The 8 remedies, the master remedies, which really decrease blood sugar levels are phosphoric acid, Abroma Augusta, a slightly rare drug, Abroma Augusta, but very widely used in Ayurveda. It's very widely used. Cephalendra, an excellent remedy. Helonius, uranium nitricum salt, and acetic acid. These are very, very frequently used at the clinic, specifically to reduce blood sugar levels or urine and sugar levels. So we have made a protocol. There are 8 drugs. Now, how am I supposed to select those drugs? So the protocol goes as follows. Blood sugar is high, urine sugar is high, thirst is more, urine is more, prostration is more, but there is no hunger, then the drug is phosphoric acid. Blood sugar is high, urine sugar is high, prostration is high, but normal thirst, normal urine, normal hunger, then the drug is Abroma Augusta. Blood sugar is high, urine sugar is high, thirst is more, no urine is normal, hunger is normal, no prostration, Cephalendra is the drug of choice. Blood sugar is high, urine sugar is high, normal thirst or no thirst, frequency of urination is high, there is normal hunger, no prostration, then Helonius is the drug of choice. Blood sugar is high, urine sugar is more, thirst is more, urine is more, there is no hunger and prostration is more, then uranium nitricum is the drug of choice. And finally, if there is high blood sugar, urine sugar is high, thirst is more, urine is more, prostration is more, there is diarrhea and there is no hunger, then acetic acid. Of course, it may sound, a protocol, but then this protocol is we have made for emergency management, and it really is a ready reckoner. It is on our table and it helps us to select emergency medicines to stabilize blood sugar levels quite fast.
Did I miss any of the remedies? Phosphoric acid,
Abroma, Augusta.
Augusta, that's two.
Cephalendra.
Cephalendra is different than Cephalinum, right?
Yeah, yes. It's totally different than Helonius.
Helonius, so 1, 2, 3, 4, uranium nitricum, 5, acetic acid is 6. So is it 6 or 8 remedies in the protocol?
6, yeah. And 2 more. One is lactic acid.
Okay.
And last is insulin proper. The insulin, drug insulin, in potentized form. I mean, as the history goes, long before the discovery of insulin, Dr. Pierre Jousset of Paris, he prepared a pancreatic juice on a glycerin base and he administered it to diabetic patients. I think in doses of 10 drops a day in water and had results sufficiently good to consider pancreatic juice orally administered as a remedy of value in diabetes. And two doctors from UK, Dr. Cartier and Baker, they advise homeopathic strengths of insulin 3x to 30th for maintenance of blood sugar at normal level. And really, at our clinic also, insulin 3x potency, it has to be repeated, say, twice a day. It really maintains the blood sugar levels to quite, normal levels.
Okay. Very good.
So, this is, in general, maintenance of diabetes proper. But as I have told you that early diabetics and late diabetics, heart disease. So heart disease presents a peculiar problem is because they end up in heart failure. And heart failure is, once you have diagnosed it, the life becomes miserable. I mean, you start getting breathlessness and you start getting fatigue. You have loss of enthusiasm of life on smallest of small exertions. And in such cases, I would recommend two important remedies. One is if the Liatris Picata. Second is Fasciolus. Fasciolus is a beautiful remedy. I mean, people should make use of this Fasciolus. Fasciolus, PH. It starts from PH. Fasciolus.
Okay.
And if the ejection fraction, the pumping capacity of the heart has gone too low, then of course the drug is Strophanthus.
Okay.
So these are wonderful remedies in maintaining not only blood sugar levels, but also the functioning of the heart to a very normal, so-called normal level. And so that the patient can still live with diabetes and diabetic heart disease and still have continue working as efficiently as possible. Without these drugs, the life would have been more miserable. And not only that, but the modern medicine, lacylactone and the Lasix, these are common drugs, and Digitalis, the common drugs which are given, they need not be given in such cases. So that in spite of, bereft of these drugs also, with homeopathic remedies, we can provide a very beautiful life to the patient suffering from diabetic heart disease.
When you mentioned the Liatris, the Fasciolus, and the Strophanthus. Yes. Are those in mother tincture or are those in...
Yeah. At the most, you can give them in a decimal scale of, say, 1x, 2x, or 3x. Not more than that. Because they have to be taken for a long period of time, probably a daily basis for about 7 to 8 months till the patient is stable. Then you give them a break for, say, 2 or 3 months if the patient is feeling all right. Give a break. Don't repeat the drugs. And... So you have to titrate the dose depending upon the individualistic symptom syndrome. And so these are few drugs. Of course, there are many more. But these are very, very effectively used in our practice, at least our center at India here.
Right. And I want to emphasize to anyone who is listening that this is a study session. It's educational information. You're not really supposed to be self-diagnosing or self-prescribing anything. You need to have a professional physician who is practiced in homeopathy to take care of you and keep track of your progress, see how you're doing, and monitor your disease.
Exactly. And many people yes, doctor, we can control our diet. What about exercise? You say that exercise is good for the heart, exercise is good for diabetes, but then since we have got heart disease, the moment we start exercise, we get breathless, or we get symptomatology because of diabetes exercise. So what? How do we manage such patients? Well, the answer to this is massage. Massage therapy is excellent in such cases. people who want to exercise, but because of the symptomatology, because of the low ejection fraction, they cannot exercise. So in such cases, exercise is contraindicated. We don't let them exercise. Rather, we give them oil massage. And massages, really, body massage, are really, really helpful. One also needs to know that we don't have a single heart. There is one main heart, then there are called peripheral hearts. The calf muscles are called peripheral hearts. So these muscles, calf muscles, the deltoids, the biceps, the triceps, anti-gravity muscles, they need to be massaged thoroughly so that the entire circulatory system improves. The sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system are in control, and thereby the heart's action also improves. And we have seen a lot of improvement. Now people keep on coming and tell us, Doc, why didn't you tell us earlier? Why didn't previous doctors tell us about massage therapy? I said, I'm sorry, I don't know. The moment you came to me, I have told you about massage. So such magical effects people experience after massage.
Wonderful. I don't know. It's getting more commonplace to find massage facilities in America. Is it very commonplace in India?
It's very common in India, and you don't require an expert. I mean, even if a spouse can do a massage or children can do, of course, they should have time to do so. But then, yes, I mean, it's just massage. But self-massage, I don't advocate, because the person, these people have got loss of potassium deficiency and start developing cramps. Cramps are very common in diabetics, and more still commoner than in diabetic people with heart disease. So they would not massage those areas or massage very lightly. A massage has to be done properly. So, but it does not require technical skills, like you have to go to parlors or something. Yeah, people from your own home can do a massage, but it has to be done quite well. And it should be at least done 5 days a week.
Five
5 days a week, 2 days can be given off. And it can be should be done on empty stomach, not necessarily early in the morning, but any time during the day, but preferably on an empty stomach. And such patients do very well with massage. And once they're stable enough, once they're confident enough that they can do some exercise, then they can go for walks, small short walks, not brisk walking, but plain walking, not ascending stairs, not climbing stairs, but just on level ground they can walk. They should have a warm-up exercise. They should do some stretching. They can do pranayam. They can do yoga. But that has to be done under supervision. Pranayam and yoga are excellent deep breathing exercises. And they have a wonderful sugar-lowering effect, as well as increasing the elasticity of the heart and the pumping capacity of the heart, both pranayam and yoga. There are specific yogasans to be carried out. They have to be learned and should be done under supervision for all people who have got these heart disease along with diabetes.
I'm moving to India.
Welcome here.
Okay. Wow. It's so motivating to hear you, but to actually get yourself up and taking, like you talked about the New Year's resolutions last session, there's got to be something that we can say or do to get people to actually take the steps that you're advocating.
I mean, it does take a lot of counseling, and by shows like these, at the most, we can do our duty to educate people. After all, but one thing is certain, that if I am sick, it's my responsibility to get well. It's not the doctor's responsibility to make me well. Doctors can educate, can motivate. But at the same time, if the horse has come to the water, the horse has to drink the water. We can't drink it for the horse.
I love that. That's great. It's up to each individual to take these steps in order to get themselves well, putting the responsibility on the person.
Yeah. I mean, if I am responsible, God has given me this gift of my human body. It's my responsibility to keep it well. It's my responsibility that if I am well, I can be well. I can be helpful to not only myself but to others. So the first thing is I should make myself. I always remember when I am traveling in a plane and in an aircraft, the first thing that they say, first save yourself, and then after giving the signals of the seat belt sign and all those things, they first help yourself and then help your co-passengers. So the same thing which I tell all my patients, first help yourself, take responsibility, take charge of yourself, and then ask the do something else. If you are responsible, if you are helpful, you can get your work done. Then,
Dr. Somnath, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name. Maybe you can help me. Somnath Mitra has commented in the chat asking you to post your diabetes mellitus cases with HbA1c test report done before, during, and after the treatment with the homeopathic remedies.
Definitely. Yes. We have got HbA1c is a very, very important marker for diabetes. And that blood sugar is just one aspect of diabetes, as I told you. But HbA1c is really helpful in knowing whether we are going on the right path as far as management of cases are concerned. And we really have at the center. If you could provide me about the emails, I can post cases. We do have good cases.
Yes, and I know that you're collecting a database of cases from the clinic, and I guess you're going to be publishing that formally at some period in time.
Yeah, we have already published them in an issue called Diabetic DiaHom, DiaHom. We had a workshop on diabetes in 2008, a national workshop, wherein we have published all our data. And from then on, we have kept a registry of all our cured cases of diabetes or all those cases who have got responded in either in complication phase or pre-diabetic stage. So we do have. So that's not, he wants evidence base of what we are speaking. Yes, we do have evidence, and that's why we speak and speak so confidently.
Right. So we can direct Dr. Somnath to that article, to that publication.
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
So I was talking about...
Yes, we have about 6 minutes left to the show. So I don't know, I guess will we be able to finish up and cover what you had planned?
No, I'll speak about exercises and diabetes in the next issue, because many exercises, many asanas, the words are very, very beautiful to hear. But then what actually one has to do, one doesn't know. So I would be taking up a separate session. The next time we would be talking about exercises and diabetes.
Okay.
But certain new things. HbA1c are this is called the C8 medisensors. Now the worst thing diabetic fears is continuous blood testing. The prick he gets because of the insulin needle, and the prick he gets because of for the blood sugar testing. They are very, very painful, and they're nuisance, actually. They make life bad. So a company has developed non-invasive continuous glucose monitors, the memory of which lasts 120 days. So they are HG1C, medisensors. So nowadays, you don't need to prick the patient. You can actually sense the blood sugar levels without pricking. That's really a new treat for diabetics.
Likewise, is this the one that's like a laser that puts on the finger?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yes. And it does have an error of, say, margin error of 30%. But yet, it is very helpful in monitoring blood glucose levels.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise, the same such a type of kit is available for HbA1c also. It is called A1C Now. It's a multi-test system that measures HbA1c.
Well, it probably reduces stress.
Exactly. You can know that within 3 months or 4 months, your diabetes has been in a good status or not. And last is, people who are very obese, who are foodies, they want food, but they cannot restrain. Then there's a surgery, which is called endobarrier. A liner that fits inside the section of intestine. It mimics the effects of gastric bypass. So it's a liner, it's a small plastic tube, or not plastic exactly. The material, I don't know what the material is made of. But it really reduces the satiety and does not let the food absorb to that great extent. So you can still enjoy the food, the tickling of taste buds, but none of the calories would be absorbed in. And then you can hope to reduce weight without stopping to eat. So these are for people who can't stop eating and yet want to lose weight, yet want to control diabetes. So you have an endo barrier, E-N-D-O-B-A-R-R-I-E-R. The surgery is not so difficult. It's very easy.
And so this is something that you would advocate. I would imagine if they had that in place, they their stomach would shrink to the point where they would start to eat less naturally.
Exactly. So, I mean, a few mouthfuls would fill up the throat. That's what a lycopodium patient would say. Lycopodium cannot stay hungry. So, but he once he starts eating, a few mouthfuls would fill up the throat. So that would what endo barrier would do. Once that and it's in place, it's put into place, the person starts eating, but hardly in few mouthfuls, he would be easily, satiety would be achieved and obesity would be reducing. Of course, the care should be taken that he or she does not go malnourished. That care has to be taken or for dehydrated. But then that's a technical issue. So these are some new treats which have come for diabetes. And I hope people who would require these should take advantage of that new technology.
Right. And I assume, I don't know how it is in India, but many of these things would go through the medical care system with the insurance so that a doctor, a physician could give a prescription for either the endobarrier surgery or these other types of monitoring of the blood sugar levels.
Exactly. So finally, I mean, as far as diet is concerned, because the rest we are going to talk about, we have really talked about what is diabetes, we have understood the symptomatology, management part, of course, we have also talked about. And we have talked about diet and diabetes. But only thing remaining is exercises. So I'll end up with the final, quote.
Final words and a quote.
Final word, that diabetes, do not fear diabetes. It's a constitutional disorder. Make it your friend. Take responsibility, take charge, and fight it. Homeopaths are there with you.
It sounds wonderful. I appreciate each week that you present information and encourage us to get healthy. Okay, we're going to end today's show, and coming up in about 1 or 2 minutes will be Dr. Pawan talking about his cases and HIV/AIDS. And we'll see you next week with Dr. Otto. On Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And what time is it there?
It is 9:30 p.m.
9:30 p.m. in Mumbai?
Mumbai.
Okay. Take care now. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Heart Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when the show airs, and share with friends on Facebook and Twitter. Please send in your comments and questions, and we'll see you next time.